Du lyssnar på en podcast från Expressen. Fler poddar hittar du på expressen.se/podcast och på iTunes.
Hallå kära vänner, dags för ännu en podcast med mig Magnus Nyström. Denna gång i sällskap av fotografen Bruce Bennett. Vi bjuder er på en roadtrip skulle man kunna kalla. Vi tar oss igenom hela NHL från ena laget till det andra. Vi pratar minnen, vi pratar arenor, vi pratar legendariska spelare, vi pratar stjärnor nu, vi pratar Stanley Cup-triumfer och tunga nederlag. Det blir en del snack om Jaromir Jagr, Henke Lundqvist, magnifika Los Angeles Kings. Vi pratar om arenorna från förr vi gillade som allra bäst och arenorna nu vi verkligen rekommenderar att ni besöker om ni har möjlighet. Ja, en hel del spännande hockeysnack och det blir ännu en podd på engelska, men jag vet att ni alla är riktigt vassa på engelska, så att det är inget som helst problem. Så jag säger bara welcome to the show med Bruce Bennett. Okay, let's go on our road trip, and I'm looking at the list over the standings right now. So we start off that way by going to the number one place in the league right now, Washington, D.C. You made a whole bunch of trips to D.C., right?
I love Washington, D.C. Just a five-hour trip from my home on Long Island, New York. Nice arena downtown. They've done a great job renovating that whole area. And the fans there really rock that place.
It used to be a very quiet crowd, right? I remember when Calle Johansson played there, playoffs, they kind of geared up a little bit. But nowadays, when that whole place goes rock and they have that song they sing in their third period sometimes. It's from a film clip. It's something about Unleash the Fury.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, it's much better than the early days when they were out in the suburbs, out in Landover. Because that building had no character at all. So this has been a big resurgence for the Washington Capitals being in a place like that.
How difficult is it to keep track of Alexander Ovechkin on ice? I know some players up against him, they hate to play against him. It's not that easy to shoot, though, because he's going out there fast.
Yeah, you never know where he's going to go. Sometimes when he's at the other end of the ice, and he'll score, and he'll celebrate, he'll turn towards the other end of the ice, and he'll get lucky. But usually, I think more like when I shoot him at Madison Square Garden, the position there is perfect, because it's on the right side of the ice for having him shooting the puck, but usually he'll turn the other way when he celebrates. But he's always fun to shoot.
Yeah, and it's fun to watch. I mean, a player like him makes the whole trip to that game worthwhile.
Yeah. You know, with him and Backstrom, in all honesty, the Caps team is a lot of fun to shoot.
They're going to win the whole thing, you think, this year?
No.
No, okay.
No way.
No way?
No way. Sorry.
A better chance than now they've never had, though. I mean, they have a goalie, finally. Braden Holtby was a hell of a goalie.
But that's true, yeah.
What makes you feel no?
Well, you know what? With the Rangers stumbling right now, and Montreal stumbling, maybe they have a little bit better shot, but I still just don't see them having the having enough talent there to take them too deeply into the playoffs.
Interesting. Let's continue from Washington, D.C. to Chicago. Chicago Blackhawks that recently spent a little time with Barack Obama in the White House. You've been to the White House a few times too, by the way.
I went with the New York Rangers in 94, and then I went with the New Jersey Devils. Mm-hmm. And the best part of the New Jersey Devils was Martin Brodeur showed up in a suit with sandals.
With sandals,
yes.
On?
And I don't know if that's
at the White House?
Yeah. I didn't know whether that was a French-Canadian thing or not, but it was an interesting look anyway.
I don't think no Blackhawk had sandals on the other night when they visited Barack Obama. I know you love to go to Chicago back in the day. You still do because that place is still rocking, but the old Chicago Stadium. I was unfortunately never there, but tell me about that experience.
Yeah.
That was pretty wild.
The old building with the national anthem, The crowd would be drunk before the opening face-off. The fans are close to the ice, even in the new building as well as in the old building.
The new building is good too.
Yeah. New building still has a great atmosphere. Not like the old one, but it's still a wonderful place to shoot and a wonderful place to go see a game. And really, if a fan can go to one city to watch a hockey game, that would probably be one of the few places I'd recommend or they'd be at the top of the list.
The place to go. You don't give Washington a chance to win the Stanley Cup. How about Chicago then? You think they can win again?
I think they have a good shot again. They really haven't made too many changes in rosters from last year. They're strong top to bottom.
It's pretty cool also because if they win again, Niklas Hjalmarsson will really make history because then he joined an elite club of Swedish guys that won the Cup 4 times. Stefan Pearson, Anders Keller, Thomas Holmström, Niklas Lidström. Those are the 4 Swedes with 4 cups. Niklas got 3, Hjalmarsson. Mm. So one more is up in the 4 team, so to speak. So he's probably going to make it. Underrated player, right?
Very underrated. Mm. I don't think a lot of people think of him when they think of All-Stars. He probably got no All-Star votes. No. But strong player. Strong in his own zone and also can carry the puck. And he is fun to watch.
Yeah. Let's continue to Dallas, Texas. I have to admit, I've never been to Texas, which is a shame. I know. I should go sometime, and I will, but I haven't been there yet. I should like to cover hockey games in Dallas.
Well, I tell you, partner, it's quite a lot of fun down there. Stop by the Hooters, by the building, and then, the fans are pretty good there. They've got a couple of superstars with Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin, and they're playing well together.
Fun to shoot those guys, huh?
Fun to shoot those guys. I haven't been to Dallas now in 2 years, but the arena there is, it's unfortunately one of those big barns that they have now in most NHL arenas, NHL cities. They've got these huge buildings where the fans are so far away from the ice surface that it's just there isn't that much atmosphere in the building.
Okay.
There are a lot of places like that now.
Yeah, that's too bad. It kind of takes away the charm of it when you get too far from the ice, and that's why you kind of like the old buildings.
Mm-hmm.
How about St. Louis? We'll leave Dallas immediately, and I still feel ashamed that I haven't been there. So I will talk more about it in a podcast in the future when I've finally been there. I like John Klingberg. How about John Klingberg? I have to say something about that great defenseman of ours.
The only thing I can say about him is I think I've seen him once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I hear he's good.
Yeah. You'll see him in the World Cup.
Yeah, okay. So. That's good.
How about St. Louis?
Yeah, St. Louis... That's a place I don't think it's... I think it's been 3 or 4 years since I was down there. Kind of a nondescript building also.
Mm-hmm.
Big space with fans very far away from the ice surface.
Yeah, but will that team ever go all the way? It seems like they're good, but they're never really great.
Well, it's the same. Them as well as the Washington Capitals is the same thing. Or San Jose Sharks, same thing. Those teams that... Every year you think it's going to be their year to go the distance, and they can just never turn the corner.
No.
Great management there, great people to work with, and some wonderful players, but they just don't seem that they can ever get up for the big challenge.
And it feels the same still, like, okay, that's a great team. That's a good team, but they're never going to be great. I don't know. But we'll see if they surprise us. Florida Panthers are finally good again after some really bad years for a long time. But you were there for the craziest of times when the rats were flying all over the place.
Yeah, I still have a bunch of rats at home that I stuffed in my camera bag when I was being pelted with them.
Yeah.
Back when Colorado went against the Florida Panthers and Uwe Krupp scored the final goal.
Yeah. Peter Forsberg won his first Stanley Cup. He had a hat trick in one of the finals there, too.
Oh, okay.
So he was pretty good.
You would remember that.
Yeah, but I think with the rat trick, we should tell the people that doesn't know is that it all started with Scott Mellenby killing a rat in the locker room with his hockey stick, and then after that scoring two goals in that following game. So that was the rat trick, and every time they scored a goal in that playoff, they threw in those plastic rats. But you had to take cover because you were sitting right by the ice.
Yeah,
there were thousands of rats playing down.
I know that, like, there was a goal and I got hit in the head with something and I looked to my left and I looked to my right, and I was in the front row of the arena, and everybody was doing duck and cover. They all had their heads between their knees and had their hands over their heads. And then I realized we were getting hit with all the rats that weren't making it onto the ice. So I scooped up a bunch and put them in my camera bag to bring them home. And I know the NHL put out the edict, no more rat throwing.
It was for one playoff season.
Yeah, they let it go for a bit.
It was okay, though. But how about Jaromir Jagr? Of all the great players we've seen over the years, that guy is just keep on playing 44 years old. It's pretty amazing.
It's crazy, actually. A guy of that age, he still has the talent, and he still has the motivation and the drive to be successful. But the rest of the team around him, I don't know. They've done a good job this year, but it's hard to see that they'd be down there at the end.
But they're fifth totally in standings. There's only four teams in the league with more points.
Wow, that's crazy.
We're doing this on a Friday before a few days before this podcast is going to be released, but still, that's pretty amazing.
Wow, that is amazing. I tell you, going back last year and the year before, it was always fun watching the NHL On the Fly show that would have the highlights from around the league. And you'd always want to see the Florida Panther games and see all those empty seats.
It was
just a horrendous, horrendous look. And now I understand those seats are filling up more and more. So it kind of proves if you win, fans will show up.
Yeah, that's the way to do it if you want to attract fans. Make sure to win games. New York Rangers, that's your second home almost.
Pretty much, yeah.
Madison Square Garden.
It's just a train ride away. And they've stumbled recently. It's all about who peaks at the right time of the year.
But they still have a chance to win the cup, though.
I think they do, but they really have to kind of get it together now, because we're getting into towards the end of the season, and you can't go into the playoffs winning and losing and not showing up at some games. But look, I think they have the talent. It's just a matter of whether they're going to be able to pull it together and actually start winning on a consistent basis.
They have a goalie good enough to win, though.
Antti Raanta is playing fabulously.
You won the last game for them, actually.
Oh, thank God, because he started out great, and then he was pretty bad for a short while. And you just can't keep going back to Lundqvist game in and game out.
He's kind of carrying that team a little too much at times.
He's no kid anymore, and you can't burn a guy out on all these regular season games. No. You just can't do it. You want him to be fresh come playoff time.
Okay, we'll leave New York for Los Angeles. That was the final a couple of years back. We were there, both of us, when the Kings won the cup. But you were there when the king of hockey played in Los Angeles. Tell us about the Gretzky years. That was pretty exciting in California.
Yeah. Of a resurgence, or it wasn't a resurgence, it was the surgence, if that's a word, of hockey in Los Angeles. It was the sport of kings then, when you had Gretzky showing up and front row seats for Burt Reynolds and Goldie Hawn and movie actors, TV actors.
Lots of celebrities.
That was the place. Back then, the Fabulous Forum was probably the dingiest, dirtiest place I'd ever shot in.
That old rig, yeah.
I remember walking in and saying to the team photographer, they got the half lights on. When do they put the rest of the lights on? And he goes, that's all there is. And it was bad. It was probably the worst lit arena in the NHL. The new building, Staples Center, is gorgeous. It's managed really well. It's clean. It's neat, and the Stars are still showing up for the games.
And now they have a hell of a team again. And they had the season last year when they missed the playoffs after winning the whole thing, where they were kind of broken down. But my God, now they start to get going again.
Well, the big pickup for them was Milan Lucic. Mm-hmm.
The type of guy who's good to have on a winning team.
That's what you need. A guy like that.
Yeah. That's a fun place to watch hockey too, LA, nowadays. How about Anaheim, though? They started up the season horrible. And, you know, Ryan Getzlaf didn't score a goal in the beginning, and it was not going well at all for them. But now we recognize them again.
They're coming back up now, yeah. You know, it's hard to say. With that coach, Boudreau, the problem is sometimes coaches burn out the players, or the players get burnt out on certain coaches. And I thought that was a possibility here, where it's just going to be a case where the players are just shut down. But it seems like he's been able to rally the troops, not only save his own job, but also when you look at their roster and you look at the talent on that roster, those guys should be in the top five in the NHL. But that's also a team that just hasn't really, through the years, hasn't really been able to cross over to being winners.
We have been, the two of us together, at a game there when I have to say I've seen some of the toughest acts I've ever seen in a hockey building in any time. That was, remember that Stanley Cup final when Scott Stevens, we thought he killed Korea, Paul Korea?
Yeah.
And it was one of those monstrous hits that Stevens landed, and Korea came back and scored the winning goal.
Yeah, yeah. And at that point, I was the New Jersey Devils team photographer, so I was pretty upset about it at that time. But they came back to New Jersey and won.
And won the game 7 there. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that hit, I ended up with a great photo of that.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And I think it was, I tell people, it was just kind of lazy. I didn't swing the lens to where the action was going fast enough and saw it out of the corner of my eye, so just hit the shutter. But yeah, he flattened him so bad that we thought he was dead.
Yeah, he sure did. But he came back and scored. He scored a winning goal. Tough guy, Paul Kariya.
You know, and that building's a nice building. Mm-hmm. I mean, that place is probably 20 years old now, the Honda Center. It's still in excellent condition. You know, also, though, a large building where the fans are too far away from the ice surface.
Yeah. Old building. Oh, my God. Remember the old Boston Garden? A wonderful place to watch hockey games. Then they tore that old place down and built a new one on the exact same spot. Mm-hmm. How do you like that new rink? I love the old place.
Yeah. You know what? I actually like the new rink. It's got some flavor like the old rink. You know, the lower deck is pretty close to the ice, so it still has a little bit of the intimacy of the older building.
It's a great sports town, too, Boston. Oh,
well, that's it. Yeah. And you have the nutty fans.
Yeah, exactly.
The crazy, drunk, over-the-top fans.
Exactly.
Makes it very intimidating for teams to come in there.
Yeah.
And they do, like, a flag ceremony before each game where they pass a flag over the lower deck of fans mm-hmm. and play some wacky music while they're doing it. It's a great atmosphere in there.
Were you there for those wild days when Ulf Samuelsson and Cam Neely were going at each other? They had a little thing going on there for a while in the playoffs.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember they did, but I don't because I was mostly covering games
in the New York area.
Because
I remember a few years after that, there was supposed to be some kind of charity game in New York, and Ulf Samuelsson's wife was going to be in that charity game just for fun, and Cam Neely was also going to be in it, and when she found out, she made sure the two of them were on the same team.
Very smart.
Yeah, I think that was a smart move.
If I was playing, I'd want to be on his team as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but Boston is a great place when it comes to sports and the passion with the fans, that's for sure. How about San Jose Sharks? Now we're flying over the continent again and continue our little road trip here. I was there pretty recently, actually, at the Shark Tank. I love the way they go into the shark head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
Like, I love that kind of stuff. I love mascots, and I love cartoon characters in the arenas. And, you know, it's all about engaging the fans and getting the fans into the sport and getting the fans up for the game. And that'll help get the players up for the game. So it's a good atmosphere there. Fans just, fan-wise, it's not one of the bigger draws out there.
No.
But they still do okay in attendance. And, the team, for a long time, it was the same as some of the others. They just couldn't, they just can't get over the hump and take it to the next level.
It seems, yeah, that they're really that type of team for some reason. that can't really do it, and they won't do it this season either.
Yeah, I don't think they will either.
I'm going to show you now. This is very spontaneous. I didn't prepare that this at all. There is a team in Sweden, up in Luleå, where you really have real bears in the woods, like really those big brown animals running around there. Not that you see them all the time, but they exist up there. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes sense to go in through this.
That's great.
Isn't that really cool? That's, yeah. I say this is even cooler than the shark.
That's, yeah, you need that. yeah. It was some game I caught on the TV while I'm here. Birna? Is it B-Y-R-N-A?
No.
Some Swedish town.
Yeah, okay.
They had fire on the ice, and the guys skated out through rows of fire.
Rows of fire, yeah. What to do with the bear head mm-hmm. up in Luleå, too, you got the fire coming out of the nose, okay. and you got the lights out of the ice.
Yeah, that's great.
And you got, you know, the bloody teeth and all. Yeah, I think Luleå is the name of the team. That's, yeah. This is where Michael Rönnberg and Thomas mm-hmm. Holmström started their career.
Yeah, and I don't think it's just for the kids. I think the adults like it, too.
Yeah, it is
cool. Because I know I like it.
yeah, exactly.
Not just because it's photographically pretty cool, but, you know, anything to... If you can get the fans up doing stuff like that, do it.
Do it, yeah, that's right. So now we included Luleå in a NHL road trip, so that's kind of cool. let's go to Brooklyn, and that's a little weird. I have to say, though, I've been to that new great facility in Brooklyn, been there for basketball. We were there together for a basketball game even, and the atmosphere for basketball is great, I think. Mm-hmm. But for hockey, I don't know. And to me, the Islanders belong on Long Island, and for you, being a Long Islander,
yeah.
I mean...
Absolutely. I'm a Long Islander, and I used to drive 10 to 15 minutes to get to the game, and now it's a train ride. The arena's brand new. It's beautiful. It's clean glass. It's, you know, beautiful lighting. But, you know, the scoreboard is off-center.
Yeah,
the scoreboard,
which is totally weird.
Very odd. Hangs over one blue line. And the other thing is that they didn't put the correct humidification system in the building, like NHL arenas have. So somebody out there will have to do their translation, but 52 degrees is what they keep the arena at to keep the ice frozen.
Uh-huh.
And so everybody freezes.
Yeah, that's like I'm going to 10 Celsius.
Okay.
Much. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. That is cold.
That was pretty good. You just did that off the top of your head.
yeah.
I couldn't do that. Yeah, I mean, and so not only am I freezing with my feet on the ice, but everybody in the lower bowl of the arena is wearing they're all wearing their winter jackets. So how much fun is that? Team looks good, but it's hard to say. I don't think they have the horses for the long haul. They're missing a few parts. They're not consistent, but... You know, the arena is the arena. It's fine. They're trying to build a new fan base. That's kind of interesting and difficult at the same time.
But, I mean, there was so much talk about that old and NASA Coliseum is such a dump. It's such an old rink, blah, 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 blah. But when that place was sold out for, like, playoff games, we talked about it the other day when Toronto came in the playoff series, the first in, like, 10 years on Long Island, and the place was rocking. It was just a wonderful place to watch games.
Even in more recent years, the most recent times they've gone into the playoffs, that place would be insane.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the acoustics, how the building was built, and how
talk about being close to the ice.
Yeah, fans are close to the ice. All those Stanley Cup banners and retired jerseys up in the rafters, so you'd be able to look around and relive the history of the building. So it is kind of sad. I mean, it was time to go, but it's still sad.
Still sad, yeah. It must have been so much fun. You were there for all those great years with the four cups in a row and a fifth final. And, I mean, that team, the Al Arbor coach team with Pearson and Johnson and Dennis Potvin and Bossy and Trottier, what a team.
Yeah. It's difficult as you're going through it. I don't know if it's a thought, well, this isn't going to end or it's always going to be like this. I don't know. I don't think you really appreciate it till afterwards.
No.
And you go, those were some great years.
Yeah.
You know, because then after that, obviously, we started with the bad years. And you look back and you go, well, I should have appreciated it more when this team was on the top of their game.
Yeah. Talk about old, charming buildings. How about Joe Louis Arena in Detroit? Lovely place. I like it. I can't help liking it.
It's a pigsty.
It smells, and it's the press box is the worst in the league, but I still love it.
It's a dump.
It is a dump. A dump with charm.
As an older building, I mean, those fans rock that place.
Oh, yeah.
And the atmosphere, as long as you don't touch anything in the building, you can come away clean. I mean, I think one of the worst jobs, I had to help one of our technicians run network wire from my photo position to the network room. And there was stuff underneath the stands. It was probably 15, 20-year-old beer cups and hot dogs. And
it was
vile. It was really disgusting. But that building, though, a lot of atmosphere. When they let the octopus down from the rafters, they've got a big inflated octopus. That place knows how to do it, especially come playoff time. Very few buildings with that kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, it's a great place. And I mean, a great organization, the way they have, been a winning team for such a long time, with all the Scotty Bowman years and the cups they won and Babcock coming in and, Jeff Blaisdell, he's the real thing too, I think. So that's a great organization.
But they've got Zetterberg and Datsyuk are really over the hill, aren't
True,
they?
Yeah. They've got Larkin coming in.
Oh, is he awesome.
Yeah.
What a great kid.
Yeah. I mean, Zetterberg and Datsyuk, they can still play, but they are on the older side. Yeah. But I mean, Dylan Larkin.
And you know what? Detroit constantly finds new talent. Yeah. That's what you... I mean, the scouting system, Larkin is a gem.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah. Okay, let's travel to Pittsburgh. Sidney Crosby. People were wondering what the heck's going on with Sidney in the beginning of the season. Now he's showing that he can still play. And that's a fun place to go, too, even though they got a new building. I haven't been to the new building. I was at the old Igloo. But that's a passionate group of fans and a great place to go watch hockey, too.
It is, and it's a clean arena. It really is a beautiful arena, inside and out. And that building also rocks pretty heavily. Those fans are really passionate there. Look, you can't go wrong with Crosby and Malkin on the ice. They have a great supporting cast, great management there. It's really a good place to go catch a hockey game.
Yeah. How was it like shooting Mario Lemieux?
He was a little bit easier to shoot than Gretzky because he was kind of more plodding. He would move around kind of more slowly or in just a different motion to his stride. His celebrations were great. He's a good guy. Good guy to shoot.
Yeah. Crosby is, an exciting player. I mean, that winning goal in the Olympics final, that's in your book.
Yes, yeah, picture from the rafters, from a remote camera. He plays with a lot of heart and a lot of enthusiasm. He's great photographically. He's obviously just, one of the top players in the world. And it's always interesting to me when you get a guy who's on the smaller side, that he could play with such...
But he's strong, insanely strong. Mm-hmm. The way he can knock people down and people get knocked down just by going into him, right?
He knows how to use his weight.
Exactly,
And how to balance himself.
He's got some great balance.
Great for breaking in past guys. He can find how to get the puck past them and then get himself squeezed past guys to go in on the net. Yeah, he's a fun player to shoot.
Yeah. And there were some fun times in Pittsburgh, too, when they had the Samuelsons. And now we're not talking maybe the most skilled players, but they were tough enough. And there were even times when the Penguins made sure to have the Samuelson, Shell, and Ulf on the ice against the Legion of Doom coming from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean, those two Samuelson guys, they were pretty fun to shoot, too, I guess. At least Ulf. Things were happening around Ulf.
Ulf especially. Ulf especially. I mean, he was just... he was a ball of energy.
Not afraid of anything.
Nothing. Nothing would stop him. I mean, he's the one who knocked out Gretzky's wife.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no stopping this guy. He was a lot of fun to shoot. And
just, that smile sometimes that drove people crazy.
And he wouldn't back down.
No.
Nope. They had him, one of the events I shoot every year is the Wayne Gretzky Fantasy Camp. They had him there one year, and then they didn't bring him back because he had fights with a couple of the campers in front of the net.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when he signed with Detroit for a short while, I met Niklas Lidström, and he was just talking to me after. It was just after a couple of weeks. He's like, I'm just totally amazed. I mean, I've seen him in the league. I played against him, but being on his team, realizing that each and every game, he's trying to really piss people off. Yeah. He's like chasing people. He's looking for trouble all the time. And then a smile on his face.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a guy like that, I mean, had no fear.
No.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. Okay, Tampa Bay Lightning. We've been there for a Stanley Cup celebration. Freddie Modin was a Swedish guy. Martin Saint-Louis was great. Brad Richard was great. And it was a place that was rocking hard when they won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Hulk Hogan was on the ice. Remember that?
I remember that very well. And thank goodness.
What the hell was he doing there?
Was friends with all the players.
Yeah, yeah, I remember.
Yeah. You know, that building actually... It's kind of odd because that's also one of these newer buildings. It's just so cavernous, so huge.
Too huge. Way, yeah.
But the acoustics, the way the sound filters down to the ice, the atmosphere in there is great. It's great for the players. The players who play there obviously feed off it very well. And, you know, Stanley Cup Finals out there was great last year.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun to shoot. You know, it's something good about shooting a hockey game and then walking out into the sunshine afterwards.
Not bad.
Yeah.
And Victor Hedman is not bad either.
Yeah, I guess I saw them, I don't see them that much during the season.
We're in the finals. And
so I believe you. Yeah. If you say he's good, I'll believe you.
Yeah. Together with Anton Strålman, that's a guy that Rangers should have kept.
I liked him. Yeah. I always liked him, and I was surprised. He was just a steady guy. Yeah. I was surprised the Rangers let him go.
Yeah. Okay, let's continue to New Jersey, and you've been there hundreds and hundreds of times, and back in the old Meadowlands, and of course the new Rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a team they had for many, many, many years.
Yeah. And it's still really, it's amazing what they've done now with the talent that they have. Really, I don't think anyone was counting them in to be as high as they are in the league right now. But the coach has done a good job on bringing them along and getting the most out of his players. Corey Schneider, obviously, is keeping them all together. And that's a building that basically is nondescript. Yeah. You know, it's beautiful on the outside.
Worst press box in the league, I think. You're way up there.
Yeah, yeah, that just, and Philadelphia are two that are just so far away. Yeah. You need binoculars to actually see players.
True.
But yeah, there's no very little feeling in that building.
Yeah,
maybe because of the lower crowds, but.
I kind of like the old Meadowlands, also.
Yeah, you know, and it kind of killed me because that building was still very viable.
Yeah.
It was still in great shape. Yeah. It was old, but it was in great shape. It had great sight lines. It was huge.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the economics were they wanted to move it to Newark and build their own place, and they did.
Yeah.
So.
But those teams they had for a while, like, with all those great defensemen, I mean, Scott Stevens and Niedermeyer and Rafalski and Brodeur and goal, and they knew how to build a team. And, yeah. I mean, Lula Moriello, he knew what he was doing. That's the reason that they make sure to get him to Toronto, because he could really build a team, a winning
team.
Well,
hopefully.
Yeah. Well, he did in Jersey.
Yeah, he did in Jersey, and... You know, they've gone in another direction now, and Shiro's great.
Yeah,
Ray Shiro is a genius in my eyes, so we'll see what he's able to do there, but what he's done so far has looked pretty good.
But maybe the weirdest thing with Jersey, though, is they have their Stanley Cup parade on a parking lot.
Yeah, that was...
That's not really a city to go through.
There wasn't... I don't know if you really want to do a parade in the middle of Newark either.
No, that's
when
true.
That happens. But yeah, the parking lot thing was a little odd.
Who cares when you have the cup? Because whatever.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, go to Nashville then. Nashville, Tennessee, the home of country music. And that place rocks.
Yeah, that's one of my new favorites. It has been for probably 3-4 years. Love going there for games, not just for the food and the bars afterwards. Fans, especially in playoff time. They're just so much fun.
Yeah.
Everybody's polite down there. Everybody is happy to have you there, regardless of whether you're wearing another team's jersey or not.
I love it the way that the arena is smack downtown, and then you got that cool street there with all the fun places to go to. It's right around the corner from the rink.
Yeah, it's a real small town feel.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
But pro sports right there in the middle of town, and team management there is fabulous, and they did a great job on the All-Star game, and hopefully that'll heighten everybody's awareness of what a great city that is to go catch a game in.
But how about going far in the playoffs, though? They got a Shea Weber, they have a Felix Forsberg that scored his 20th goal the other night, but not really a team to win.
No.
At least not yet.
No, they've got a lot of talent, but it's maybe not enough at this point.
No. A little more patience.
Yeah.
Playoff team for sure, but maybe. Not for sure either. It's going to be tough. We'll see what happens. How about Colorado, then? It's been a few tough years for Colorado. We have to say a few words about the coach who we remember as a player, Patrick Roy.
What a fun guy. Yeah, what a great guy.
Who would you say is the best goalie of all time? Is it Roy? Is it Brodeur? Who would you pick?
Boy, I'm partial to Brodeur since he wrote the foreword in my book.
I gotta say Brodeur. Yeah. But it's really close between the two of them.
Roy, when he was at the top of his game, I'm visualizing all the saves that I've seen Brodeur make through the years. Some unbelievable saves. Roy, I'd shoot him in the playoffs each year, and a few games in Montreal, and then a few games in Colorado during the seasons. I didn't see as much of him as I saw Brodeur, but game in and game out, both those guys are just stellar goaltenders.
Yeah, and I had this discussion the other podcast a little while back. To me, should I pick the two best goalies of all time? I don't pick Hasek, I don't pick Tretiak, the famous Russian. I'll pick Roy and Brodeur.
Yeah.
And especially for being the big time goalies, winning all. They won a lot.
Yeah.
And they were really playing their best game when it all mattered.
Yeah. And also those guys, when they didn't have a great team in front of them, they were still making their saves.
Yeah. And then we have to talk about number 21. He's up there in the rafters now. 21 is Peter Forsberg.
Yeah.
Your favorite Swede of all time.
Yeah, he is, pretty much. Yeah. Great player. Always fun to watch him on the ice. As I described him once before, power on ice. You couldn't knock him off his skates. When he'd come down the ice and you'd see him coming, he was just great.
Things
with
are
the
gonna
puck.
Happen, yeah.
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 So miss those days of guys like that playing out there.
But do you have a feeling that this is a team about to be great again? They got some young guys, but
It's weird. They do have some great young guys, but I think they're missing a bunch of guys in the middle. They're middle of the league now, and I think they got a ways to go.
Yeah.
It's also possible that Roy, with his
fierce temper,
fierce temper, may eventually turn off players. And once they turn, then you don't get them back.
Then you got trouble. Yeah. He's not the coach who's going to stick around with the same team for like 10 years.
No.
Oh well, let's continue to Minnesota, the land of the state of thousand lakes. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, something like that.
That's where many Swedes went back in the day too.
Mm-hmm.
And they love their hockey there, and that place is rocking too, but the team is not really as good as you kind of expected.
They've got some, they have some decent players with, obviously, Suter and Parisi were their two biggest deals that they did at the same year. And they have a good supporting cast. They've always been a solid team, but also a team that hasn't been able to take it to the next level. The arena is basically basically nondescript.
Yeah, I agree.
There's not too much feeling there. Fans are pretty fans are pretty good there, actually. But it's something about the building that just leaves you cold.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's not on top of the list if we should recommend places to go and watch games. How about Carolina, though? That's one of few teams. There's actually only three teams in NHL I haven't seen in their home rink. You've seen them all many times also, but I've never been to Carolina for a game.
You don't want to go. It's really, really cold in that building. It's when you sit there, it's like a wind tunnel.
Oh, wow.
It's vicious.
But the team is not that fun to watch either, right?
No. You know what? I try to avoid shooting games with Carolina just because there's something about them that just leaves me cold.
Yeah.
There's something that just doesn't... I don't know. There's no passion. There's no fury.
No.
It doesn't seem like a team that's... It just seems like a team that's always going to be just playing the game.
They had that one great season, though, when they won the cup.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Brind'Amour was playing the game of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Those were some exciting days, but it's a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was a few years back. Brind'Amour, Glenn Wesley.
Yeah, a lot of defensemen.
It was a good years, but... And I still love the goaltender, Cam Ward.
Yeah.
I still think he's an unbelievable goaltender.
Yeah.
But...
Okay, let's leave Carolina to a place that I really love to go always to watch hockey and watch sports in general. And I love the old Spectrum, talking about being close to the ice. The best press box in the league they used to have.
Yeah.
Now it's a new rink, and it's still a great group of fans, though. Yeah. They're crazy, but they're fun.
Yeah. And the strange thing is also, that's also one of these new cavernous buildings.
Mm-hmm.
It's so huge, but there's still atmosphere.
Yeah. Thanks to the passionate fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Fans fans down there over the last 2-3 years, they're spending a lot of time turning on their players.
Oh, yeah.
And not being, you know, the solid diehard fans. You know, bad power play, they boo them. Not as supportive as I thought Flyer fans would be.
Yeah, and used to be back in the day. They were really against their behind their team.
Yeah.
But that Spectrum, wasn't that a lovely place?
That was as scary as it was for the players, it was scarier for the media.
Yeah.
You know, it was right across the parking lot from where the stadium is now. Just an old building, like they say. They don't build them like that anymore.
Mm.
But that was atmosphere.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a building you'd walk in and you just kind of breathe it in and go, yeah, they won the Stanley Cup in here.
Yeah.
You know, Spectrum was a special place.
Yeah. But you were there for a few games when they were the wildest bunch that we might have ever seen in the game of hockey. And the Broad Street Bullies.
Yeah.
How was it like during those games? It must have been scary for real sometimes.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I remember about the NHL had passed a rule at some point about making sure the glass was like 6 foot high to keep the fans back from the players. And in Philadelphia, the owner, Ed Snyder, wouldn't do it. And the reason he wouldn't do it is part of the appeal or part of the mystique is that our fans are going to lean over the boards and scream at the players and treat them like crap. You know, it's a little bit calmer now. You know, it's not really, the sport isn't about goons anymore. So it's hard, you know, it's hard because they're not winning. You know, they just, no matter who they sign, whoever they spend money to, they still can't produce that winning formula.
But it's weird, though. I mean, there's not that many times, even though I've been to a lot of games in the NHL, there's not that many times I've seen goalies going all across the ice fighting. That have happened to me twice in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I remember Ron Hextall, who thought he was really going to have an upper hand on Felix Potvin. Remember that?
Yeah.
Potvin was like the nice guy in Toronto, and he beat the crap out of Hextall.
That was good.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Such a surprise. You thought it was going to be the other way around, but no way. Potvin was tough.
You always like to see the bully learn his lesson.
Exactly. And that happened at that instance, for sure.
And then more recently, had Ray Emery.
Exactly.
Just
against Holtby.
Washington
was in that game, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was more of a, you know, Holtby got his ass kicked there.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ray Emery was, you know, a boxer of some sort, so.
Yeah. But that's Philadelphia in a sense. And I mean, Hextall, and I mean, he was a wild guy. Really nice person.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, I know. He's a great guy. And I remember I did an interview with him once about, you know, old-time hockey, old-school hockey. We were talking about, you know, a tough thing that happened on the ice. And in the end of the interview, I'm like, well, then you had that thing with, you know, Kent Nilsson. He's like, I was just waiting for you to ask me that question. Yeah, he whacked Kent Nilsson pretty good in a playoff game.
I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's working for the Flyers now, Hextall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what position, but I see him around all the time.
Yeah. And a hell of a goalie, too. Talk about a winner who loved to be out there in the toughest games.
You know, you need a guy like that who's passionate, you know.
Yeah, fun guy. Okay, let's continue to Arizona.
Arizona, well, they still have a team.
They still have a team, even though they only have like 10,000 fans a game.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, maybe they'll end up moving to Las Vegas. We'll see.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, wouldn't that be something to have a team in Las Vegas? You think that's going to happen?
I think it's going to happen. I think it's asking for trouble.
Yeah.
But yeah. What do I know?
Yeah.
You know? Maybe if you fly the team in and fly out after after games, you're safer.
No flying in the game before staying at a hotel or stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're asking for trouble.
I know. Maybe you have a team meal or something like that.
Exactly.
Look,
but I mean, at the same time, you know, for the economy, I mean, there is no professional team in Las Vegas to be the first professional league in town.
Well, NBA is looking there now as well. So I guess it's a race to see who shows up there first. And I don't know. There's so much. I mean, it's a population center. So you'd like to think in a place like that where there's high population, the local people will go to the hockey games and the visitors will go to the casinos and the shows. I don't know, when I see so many other distractions from a sporting event where people can go to other things.
Take away fans.
I don't see high attendance, but what do I know?
But what about Arizona, though? I mean, it used to be called the Phoenix Coyotes, and I mean, they are passionate, the fans that are there, but it's just not enough of them.
Yeah.
That's how it feels.
It's not a bad place to see a game. Fans seem to be more laid back.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a beautiful place to visit. It's a nice place to be.
Yeah, it's a great arena. Really nice, clean.
And the players who live there and play there love to be there.
I don't blame them.
No.
Well, most of them are playing golf during the days and then playing hockey at night. Don Maloney has done a great job through all these years. You know, when the NHL owned the team and when the other guys owned the team. And, I mean, he's just done a great job moving the roster around and keeping the team competitive.
Yeah.
It's a team I'd love to see go to the next level, but I still think they're probably a few players short.
Yeah, probably. Okay, let's continue to Canadian capital of Ottawa. They made it to one Stanley Cup final. They lost against Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to go this season, not for the coming years, but I don't know. What's your take on Ottawa?
Yeah, they got a lot of problems, roster problems.
Yeah.
You know, they're in the, bottom six of the league, bottom seven of the league?
Yeah, they're very close point-wise now. So they got a group of teams after them right now. And they got Erik Karlsson is pretty spectacular, but I mean, it's going to be a big thing if they even make the playoffs.
Right. And, you know, Dion Phaneuf, hard to say whether that's going to make any huge difference with that team. It's also, I mean, they're a team that I don't see that often, so I'm not that familiar with their roster. But it's, you know, it's a team that's always been kind of on the cusp, you know, after that Stanley Cup year, and then they have floundered since then, and you just go, when are they going to be decent again?
It's kind of nice to go there, though, especially I like, if you go there in winter time to watch a game, make sure to bring your own skates, where they have that canal, ice on the canal going through the whole city, pretty much.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty neat place to go. Always nice to watch hockey in Canada, of course. How about Daniel Alfredsson, one of the biggest Swedish stars of all time? Must have been fun to shoot too.
Yeah.
Thanks for happening around Daniel.
Yeah, always kind of interesting when a team makes their captain the captain becomes a Swedish player, or a Swedish player becomes a captain. I think, you know, in my mind anyway, there's a lot of amongst the teams, there's a lot of pro Canada sentiment. Or pro-Canadian player sentiment. So it's kind of interesting when they kind of step out of the box and they go for a European player and say, this guy's our leader. Because the knock for many years in the NHL was that, you know, these players care about the World Championship, Stanley Cup, not so much. But, you know, the guy was a true leader and a gentleman.
And very serious about the whole, you know, everything around it. Yeah, I think he's a future GM someday.
Yeah.
And he's still in Ottawa. He lives there and he's working for the team and so forth. So, yeah. Let's continue to Canada. At the moment, I'm going to point that out. At the moment, none of the Canadian teams are in the playoffs.
No, I saw that the other day.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And to me, the best place ever to watch a game, unfortunately can't do it anymore, the Montreal Forum, even though the new place is great too, but what a fabulous place to go to. If you've never been to Montreal, you have to go at some point.
Absolutely. I mean, The old building, of course, was one of a kind, but the new building has still got so much class and so much feeling that it's definitely a great place to see a game. Even as the team looks pretty bad right now.
What happened?
I mean, I have no idea what, you know.
It was so weird because they were the best team in the league.
Yeah.
And then Carey Price went down and everything went to hell.
It's, you know, the other goalies, you know.
He's been okay, too.
Conlon? He's looked great. The other guy they brought in looked decent. I don't get it.
No, it's really
I don't think anybody can get it. But it was around the same time that Mark Bergevin signed his 5-year extension. That always shows you, you know?
Strange.
Yeah. Yeah, I would assume they've got to turn it around at some point. They just can't wait too late before they start turning it around. You know, when you have PK Subban.
Player that is.
That guy doesn't want to be a loser.
No, absolutely not. But what a place to be. The first time I experienced a Stanley Cup final for real, live, it was in Montreal when they played Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Håkan Loob and the Flames won. And you took a beautiful photo of Landon McDonald.
Oh, yeah.
Holding the cup, closing his eyes.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I remember mostly from that final was when the game was over and pretty much all the fans were still in the building, even though the game was in Montreal.
Yeah.
And they were not cheering, but they were at least clapping their hands for the Flames.
Yeah. Just
honoring the winners. I mean, it's all class in Montreal.
Yeah, polite, very polite. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of those Canadian buildings are quiet.
Yeah, that's true.
It's, you know,
surprisingly quiet.
Yeah, Canadian politeness or whatever, but no, all of them from Edmonton. Calgary's a little noisier, Vancouver's a little noisier, but Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, very laid back.
I think it's that they're so focused at the game, so it's like it's like a theater audience sometimes. They enjoy the art in front of their eyes. I don't know. It's pretty interesting. But let's continue to Vancouver. You were there for the final when they lost the game 7 at home, and the Sedins unfortunately had to lose, and you had almost to run for your life afterwards with all.
Yeah, I never shot a riot before.
No, that was your first time shooting a riot. Yeah. People went crazy in the streets.
I know, it was awesome.
How about the polite Canadians? What the heck happened there?
Oh, right. Well, I was going to say, when you were talking before about Montreal and the Stanley Cup there, I know after one Stanley Cup, I had to be escorted by riot cops back to the bus to take us to the hotel. So there's rioting in all those Canadian cities.
After victories. After, I mean, losers and victories, and it's like a thing that's, they do sometimes.
Yeah.
But Vancouver is a special place, too.
Yeah, besides, the prettiest city in North America, so you've got to go just for that.
Mm-hmm.
The fans are wacky, you know, they wear outfits, they get dressed up, they have a good time with it. You know, a little noisier than a lot of the Canadian cities, so that engages the players. They get more into the game. And the team out there, obviously, with the two Sedins and, you know, supporting cast of players, they are a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, the Sedins are pretty impressive.
Yeah, they are.
And they just keep going.
I know.
They're not kids anymore, but they're still playing on a really high level.
Yeah.
Just felt bad for them. I really felt bad for them during the Olympics. They have an Olympic in their hometown, and they come in there as Olympic champions, and they don't get the ice time they deserve, and Sweden got knocked out in the quarterfinals. That wasn't funny. Well, let's go to Winnipeg. One of the coldest places I've ever been to.
You go to Winnipeg. Sweden is cold enough for me.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Well, they love their hockey in Winnipeg.
They do. And you know what? It's an older building. It's got character. The fans are wild there.
Yeah.
The fans have a good time with the sport. You know, the team comes and goes. I was shocked that they signed Dustin Byfuglien, Byfuglien. They signed him again, and which is great for them because we all thought he was going to go somewhere else. So, you know, they've made a commitment. They put their money on the table.
That's good.
And
the fans deserve it. It's not so much to do in Winnipeg. And so they deserve to have a...
Yeah.
I was actually there way back in time before that original Winnipeg Jets team left for Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And when Thomas Steen played there and Dale Hamerschuk and Freddie Olsson was a young kid, pretty much recently came in from Sweden. And what I remember most about that old rink was that big, huge portrait of Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was
great.
Just very weird.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Hey, old-fashioned. You know, I would still see those kind of things in the junior rinks.
Yeah.
When I was traveling around Canada, you'd see portraits like that on the walls. Yeah, that old building was pretty pretty wacky.
Yeah.
But, you know, this new one, it is, and it's not new.
It's not so new anymore,
yeah,
no.
It's
no.
still, you know, it's, what is it, the smallest arena in the
NHL,
I think?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, or maybe yeah. Brooklyn is smaller hockey-wise.
Yeah.
It's not. It's on a smaller side for sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but they sell it out every game, and people are committed to the team.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's go to Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
We've also been there, the two of us, for Stanley Cup games, Stanley Cup final games. That was a wild series against Tampa, and that was some wild traveling for us covering that final.
Oh, it was horrible.
Calgary, Florida, my God.
Whenever you have that, you know, cross Canada-US border, which is a nightmare, and cross continent like that, I think we had 3 years in a row that included Anaheim, Ottawa, Tampa... Tampa, yeah, I can't remember. But it was just 3 years in a row that was all cross-Canadian border. Oh, Edmonton, somebody.
Yeah.
Edmonton against Carolina.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just, it was just a nightmare. Because with all the photo equipment, you throw in customs and immigration, and it's a nightmare.
But Calgary is really a hockey-passionate city.
It is,
fun place.
Fans are into it. You know, the team is fun to watch. They do a great fan presentation during the game. They engage the fans, you know, whether it's music or the mascot, special lighting effects, and that building, you know, the Saddle Dome, I mean, it's got character.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
And it still is a fact, which is kind of weird, though. I mean, all the great Swedish players that play in the league, there's still only one Swede that have scored 50 goals. That's Håkan Loob.
Håkan Loob. Oh. I remember him.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah. I rank him as 5 all-time in Swedish players, with Lidström, Salming, Sundin, and Forsberg, and then Håkan Loob on a 5th, in my my opinion.
And where does Mats Hallin fit in?
He'll be there somewhere up top, but not really that close. Yeah. Who would you say is number one? That's something people talk quite a lot about here. You got Boris Salming, who kind of showed the way. You got Lidström with his long career. You got Forsberg, Sundin. If you say one, the best of all time of the Swedish guys?
I mean, I'd have to pick Lidström.
Yeah. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, his whole, we call it his body of work.
Yeah. What a career.
Steady.
Yeah. Okay, let's leave Calgary for Buffalo. That's a passionate group of fans, too.
Yeah, those fans are a little nutty.
But it's not the most charming city in North America.
No, I mean, that's the kind of thing, you go to the game and then you... Buffalo wings. And
you know what? Yeah. I had some of my worst Buffalo wings in Buffalo, and that made me so disappointed. They were supposed to be the best ever, and they were so bad. I thought it was a joke first.
You didn't go to the Anchor Bar.
I heard about that afterwards. I totally messed that up. My God.
Yeah.
But it was fun to go there when Hasek was there, though, because he was fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I go back to the Tom Barrasso days, but that was the older building.
Yeah, I never went to that older building. I've only been to the new one.
The Odd.
The Odd,
yeah. I mean, the new building, beautiful, new, but also, you know, fans.
Yeah, also one of those
big cavern.
Yeah.
Fans are pretty boisterous there. Is just not going to make it. I mean, Jack Eichel has gotten everybody enthusiastic again.
It's going to take a while, though.
Yeah,
for that
that's
team.
It. They... Yeah. Kind of, they should just kind of rebuild around Eichel.
Yeah.
And
then in a few years, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. Okay, let's go to Columbus.
Columbus. Well, you got to love the cannon.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool when they score goals and they scare the heck out of you with a cannon going off in the building.
I was quite surprised, too, when I was there. Like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
The rink is nothing other than that.
The outside is gorgeous.
Yeah, it is.
The inside
it's kind of a nice city, too.
Yeah.
It's small.
It's small, yeah. It's a small city. Inside, you're right, though. There's not much feeling inside that building.
No.
Fans tend to be on the quieter side.
Mm-hmm, true, yeah. But they're still waiting for some really good times, also. I mean, all those years missing the playoffs and high hopes coming into this season all just went to hell.
Yeah.
And they got Tortorella coming in.
Yeah. I don't see it. No. So maybe somebody knows something I don't know, but he's the kind of guy that players shut down on.
Especially these days, too. I mean, it's 2016. That type of leadership, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Okay, we got two more teams, and that's two classic teams, in my opinion, starting with Edmonton Oilers. I am so extremely happy that I had the fortune to see that team when they had their best.
Yeah.
And you were there for all the Stanley Cups. Yeah. I mean, describe those years following Gretzky and Messi and all those guys.
I mean, all the All-Stars.
What a show.
I know I had a picture of their whole All-Star group from one year, and it was 8 or 9 guys. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
That's half the team.
Yeah, it was insane. It was insane, and they deserved it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you look back at those days, and really, I mean, I'm shocked this team hasn't just climbed up the standings. They've changed management,
yeah,
they've changed coaches. And you look at the
all those high draft picks, too.
All the high draft picks, and then they still traded David Perron last year, and I thought he was a superstar in the making. Got back Clint Hammer, and then traded him. They've got a lot of talent there, and I don't know if it's coaching. Or I don't know I really don't know what they're missing. But now we're on the second coach that still can't put together a winner with some young kids who are supremely talented.
Yeah.
And that old building is going away. Yeah, Northlands is disappearing. You know, and it's like NASA Coliseum disappearing. Yeah. You know, that old style arena. But even that place, I remember being at a Stanley Cup final, waiting for Gretzky to raise the cup, and all the photographers are in the Zamboni corner. And I looked to the upper deck, and I said to the photographer next to me, I said, "Look up there. It looks like an oil painting." I mean, it was, you know, a little haze in the building, and everybody up there nobody was moving. There wasn't rocking and rolling. It was just, hey, we're going to win the Stanley Cup. What do you do? You know? It's obviously, I mean, it's Canada, so the fans are passionate, but they're not as vocal as they are in a lot of places.
No, that's true. That's true. But how about Gretzky? I mean, you've been following all around for all those years in Edmonton and then in New York in the end. I mean, you were shooting a lot in the locker room after his last game, and now you're doing the fantasy week with him. Describe your relation with Gretzky.
Yeah, it goes so far back. I photographed him, you know, his last game in the WHA, and then I do his fantasy camp every year for, I guess, probably about 10 years now.
That's anybody who can actually participate in that, like for fun. You pay a lot of money to be involved in it, like a training camp, and then you play with him and a few other old former stars.
Anybody who has 15 grand.
Yeah,
15,000 US dollars.
can play hockey with Gretzky.
And he brings in a whole bunch of other NHL players. It varies from year to year, but he brings in a whole bunch of NHL players, and they're showing a beautiful, fun week in Las Vegas.
And he is a very friendly and down-to-earth person when you get to know him, right?
Yeah, and that's just it. I mean, I think that's, I mean, people are in such awe of him, but the thing to be in awe of is he's just a typical guy. Mm. Just wants to hang out with the guys, and he wants to talk about hockey, and you know, get dressed in the locker room with the boys and talk about stuff. I mean, he's just a normal guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But he's...
And he's really on a look... He kind of... I mean, you could feel... I remember covering him, especially his last season in New York. He really knew what was going on all the time. Not only on the ice, in the locker room. I mean, he knew who I was. Yeah. I was the Swedish writer who was in town.
Yeah.
He knew that.
And it's funny because they used to say on the rink, his office was behind the net and he could see everything.
Yeah.
But he's the same way at events.
Oh,
You know, like he'll know who he already signed autographs for and he'll know everybody who's in the room. I mean,
it's amazing.
It's creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy in a way. Yeah. It is creepy. But also at the same time, I remember one time I was at a training camp. Well, that was his last training camp. Nobody knew that at the time. And they did some kind of a press conference type of thing with him the day, without telling me, which was weird. I mean, it's Gretzky, and you know, I'm there. But, I mean, he's from Sweden. He's doing the Swedish plays. Well, you know, this is Wayne Gretzky. So I missed it. And then I wanted to talk with him a little bit the day after. He was like, I did a press conference. And I'm like, I'm sorry, nobody told me. And he was a little annoyed by that, but he still came over to me. He took his time. He talked to me like a real gentleman.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's hard to imagine a guy who has that much demand on his time, but he's somebody who has that much demand on his time. So it's constantly trying to juggle what he has time to do and what he can't do. But he finds time to, you know, sign a lot of stuff for people. And at the fantasy camp, he has a great time. You know, not only on the ice, but hanging out with the guys aside from the ice.
He was a coach for a while. Unfortunately for him, it wasn't the best of teams. It was in Phoenix. And then it was this whole thing about ownership, and he was kind of forced to quit coaching because of all that was going on, the legal stuff back and forth. Do you think he's going to come back to coaching?
I don't think so. I had a couple of pictures of him in Phoenix that I shot him coaching.
You have a few great ones when he's screaming at the referee, right?
And he was talking to some of the campers about coaching, how much he loved coaching, but he realized, you know, you can't impart what he did to them because they had different skill levels. And I chimed in, I didn't think it was healthy for him either, and I have photos to prove it. I mean, he was so stressed
out. Did you say that to him?
Yeah.
What did he say?
I don't know. I think he just moved on. Yeah. I don't think it was healthy for him.
No.
I mean, he just, I think his frustration level and the stress of it, I think he'd love to do it, but I think he realizes it just wouldn't work.
Yeah, but the thing is also, I mean that's a common truth, I'd say, that former players that were really playing on the top level have a hard time being coaches because they have these high demands on players to do stuff that was so easy for them to do.
Yeah.
So it's tough. I mean, if you were a top player in the Swedish Elite League, it's tough to be a coach. Wayne Gretzky is the best ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what he did easily, I mean, most guys can't do.
Right.
Not even in the NHL.
Yeah.
So his frustration level is going to be high pretty quick.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, we're going to finish this off with going to Toronto. And that was a great rink, the old one. Especially, I love the bench. The last guy out on the bench was right beside, no glass in between, the first guy in the stands.
Very bizarre.
Really bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, you could get a fan sitting there wearing the other
Pat
team's jersey.
Yeah. It was a great building.
Though. Yeah. Yeah, it was. But that's also, you know, it's a building whose time had come.
Yeah.
Air Canada Centre is beautiful.
Yeah, it really is.
It's a clean, new facility. Concourses are huge. I mean, it's a really nice facility. Team has a lot of issues.
Oh, yeah. But are they on their way to doing something good now with Babcock and Shanahan and Lamoriello?
No.
No.
I don't know.
It's going to take time.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, Babcock's got 5 years or whatever. Lamoriello, I'm sure he's got plenty of time. You know, I'm not a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, but I know I see the news, I read the newspapers in Toronto, and I see everybody's just, when is it going to turn around? When are we going to see something at the end of the tunnel that's going to tell us that, you know, there's something better coming down the road? And you look at their roster and you go, I don't see much there.
I know.
You know, I thought Lamoriello would have pulled some more rabbits out of the hat at this point, but, you know, a new guy comes in, you really want to scope it out for a while and before you start moving guys, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to follow, though, because that will be really exciting to see them go far in the playoffs.
Always great. I mean, playoff games in Toronto.
Wow, lovely.
Fans will be crazy.
Yeah.
It's a good building. It's a good building to catch a game in.
Yeah.
But just wish the team was a little bit better.
Yeah. They haven't won a cup since 1967.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So let's hope they do it in our lifetime.
And they keep spending money.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
As a team, you know, it's a rich market, and they spend the money, but they still haven't been able to buy a cup.
No. True. Okay, that was our road trip. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I hope they enjoy listening to it.
Yeah, is there any way I can get frequent flyer mileage on that trip?
We'll see. We'll see what we can arrange. In the end, though, you said no cup for Washington, got some chances for Chicago. Let's finish this up with your prediction for the winner of the Stanley Cup this season.
I'd have to go with Chicago again.
Oh, you say Chicago?
Yeah.
So the fourth cup for Hjalmarsson.
Why not?
Okay.
That would make you happy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Du har lyssnat på en podcast från Expressen. Ansvarig utgivare är Thomas Mattsson. Fler poddar hittar du på expressen.se/podcast och på iTunes.